Stephanie's Train Travels.
Starting here, starting now, when we walk, we'll walk together, year by year.
For those first 8 years, you were never consistently on one train.
No.
It was always whatever
no.
train they put you on.
Right.
And right, right now, you're on, what train are you on?
I'm on the Empire Builder.
And how long have you been on the Empire
Builder?
Oh,
gosh. I came back over there probably about 4 years ago.
Okay.
I was on the California Zephyr working the sleeper for many years over there. But I wanted to have a break because the California Zephyr, it's a very great train to work, but physically it's difficult because on that third day, it's also a six-day trip. On the third day, when you get to California, it's about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, okay? And then the next morning, I'm back on the train at 5:30 to set up my sleeper and do my thing. So that's a very short rest period. So I had been over the California Zephyr for years working the what they call the 532, which is the second sleeper. There's usually three sleepers on that train, and I was the middle car, two cars away from the dining car. But I needed a break because I wasn't resting well. I wasn't well rested at all. And I would come home from a train trip, and I was having insomnia. I couldn't shut the train down from my head. I just wasn't resting well. So I decided to make a move and go back to the Empire Builder, which means you go from Chicago to Portland, Oregon. But even if that train runs tardy, like 3 or 4 hours late perhaps, especially in the winter, sometimes it happens. Going through North Dakota, we go through some pretty serious weather. You still get a decent sleep. And sleep on the train is very important, because you need a couple hours of sleep every day to do your job. And, you know, I've found on the California Zephyr, I wasn't getting that. It's a very long train trip, and you don't rest well sometimes. And if that train runs late, the California Zephyr, you know, that cuts into your downtime, your rest time. You know, you want to be rejuvenated and you know, be refreshed. And I wasn't feeling that way on that train, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, I want to talk about two things. So there's a lot of people that are big fans of trains.
Yes.
Of all kinds.
Yes.
Passenger trains, freight trains, all that stuff.
Yes.
And you'll talk about the nickname that you guys
Uh-oh.
Have for those guys, which I don't actually think is...
It's not offensive,
It's not
guys.
Offensive.
No.
I don't think it's offensive at all. I think it's endearing. I think it's actually pretty cute. But what I want to do is give you two terms that a regular person wouldn't know
okay.
that somebody listening to this
okay.
would say is important that's kind of train slang.
Okay, ready? The first one, deadhead.
Deadhead.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a deadhead?
A deadhead means that you're traveling on the train and you're an employee of either a freight company or Amtrak, and you're either going to work or you're coming home from work on the train. You're referred to as deadheads. Like, say, for example, I was working in the coaches, and the conductor comes by. Yeah, we're getting some deadheads on at Glasgow, Montana. They're going to be traveling to Havre, Stephanie. I said, well, you know, I got a full coach here, 60 people. So those deadheads would not have seats. We would send them to the lounge car. And that's a term called deadheads.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the people that aren't, they're not on the clock. They're just
not,
being moved
right.
to where they're
well,
going to
they
go.
Well, they could be on the clock.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they get paid for traveling.
Oh, okay, okay. But they're not working.
Yeah, but sometimes like an Amtrak employee, like say I have a friend that lives in Maryland. Her name's Patty. And she travels to Chicago to work. She works out of Chicago, but she doesn't live in Chicago.
Right.
So she deadheads to Chicago from Maryland.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
There are a lot of people that do that. Yeah.
yeah.
But quite frankly, I could never do that.
No. So what's the, do you have a second term?
Yes, I do.
What's the second
highball.
Term? Highball.
Highball? Yeah, it's not a cocktail. It's what it is for some people. But highball means when the conductor is, if we're done with our station work, say we're in Milwaukee, and There's a certain time we leave. We can never leave station stops early. Say we leave Milwaukee, Wisconsin at 3:52. We have all our people on. Conductor or somebody is going to yell, all aboard. Everybody's on. We start closing our doors. And if I'm near the conductor and he radios in highball Milwaukee, that means we're leaving the station stop. That tells the engineer that we're ready to go at exactly the time we're supposed to, 3:52. And that's what highball means.
Nice.
Not a cocktail.
Now I want to talk about, and this will probably be the last thing we talk about for this time, for this test.
Okay.
What I want to talk about is I want you to talk about the Empire Builder.
Okay.
I want you to talk about how large it is, how many passengers it holds, all the different features on it. It's an estimate. We want you to describe the train for those people that like to hear that stuff.
Okay.
And what do you call people that are passionate and are fans of trains?
Don't get mad at me, train people. Foamers.
Yeah, and it's foamers because they
foam at the mouth when they see a train.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I don't see it as. I think it's kind of cute.
It is kind of cute. Cool. Yeah. We'll always see. Like when we leave Chicago, if it's on a Saturday or Sunday, and we're leaving Chicago, we're coming through Milwaukee. There's a Milwaukee, Wisconsin folks. There's a certain area where we'll see foamers out with their tripods and their cameras taking pictures of us as we're leaving the station. And you see them all the time. And then I'll say, hey, there's some foamers, There they are again. Yep. And that's a term of endearment, really. And there's a lot of foamers that come on the train, and they will be in overalls. They will have their railroad pins all over.
Like in costume?
Well, no, not. They're just wanting to look like train people, I guess.
Look at the full experience.
Yeah, but they will wear, you could tell a foamer when they're coming towards you. They'll have pins, they'll have an Amtrak shirt on, they'll have maybe a hat that's, they will have some form of train memorabilia on them. And then the sure giveaway will be when they're carrying a radio in their hand.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because they want to listen to the talk of the train. They want to listen to the conductors and the engineers. But one thing that a foamer, the biggest mistake they can make is to listen to what the conductors and engineers are saying and then broadcast a situation in the lounge car. Say, for example, the train is going to be stopped for 45 minutes because of track work. That foamer will then broadcast, like he's in the lounge car hanging out. He will then broadcast, oh, folks, it looks like we're going to be delayed here. I just heard over the radio, 45 minutes, we have to wait for track work. Well, that's not what he should do, because then that might cause a...
It makes problems.
It might cause a situation where a passenger's upset, you know, and then all of a sudden, no one on the train has made the announcement saying that. So how did these people know that? Well, Mr. Foamer over there with his radio blabbed it, and that's kind of not a good idea. So,
because that situation could change very quickly.
Yes, exactly.
And it's almost when you tell a rumor, and by the time you get to the third person, some details change.
And that's why, sometimes, the conductors have the right to take away his radio. Mm-hmm. It's either you turn off your radio and you don't broadcast what we're saying.
So most people on the workers, the train crew, the conductors, the engineers, they don't really mind the radios as long as you don't broadcast it.
Right.
They're more than welcome to listen.
Yes.
If they like to do that.
Right.
But if it presents an issue and you're communicating information that's not...
It's a problem.
There's a chance it's not up to date. There's a chance it's the wrong information. Right. There's a chance that, you're not on the radio the whole time. You could miss a message. Yeah. You're not, you're a casual listener. Even if they're into it, even if they're super passionate about it, they could still miss a message.
Right. But they should never interfere with the train operation like that.
And
I've seen it happen, and it was a situation where we had to get the conductor, and kind of have a little chat.
So the Empire Builder.
Yes, the Empire Builder. Okay, the Empire Builder consists of two engines, one baggage car, then a crew car, then two Seattle sleepers. They are called the 730 sleeper and the 731 sleeper. Then we have our dining car. Then we have two Seattle coaches. Then we have our sightseeing lounge car, which is very nice to hang out in. And in the sightseeing lounge car, in the middle of that car, you go downstairs. That's where the snack cafe car is. And then you have two more coach cars that go to Portland. And then finally, you have my car, which is the Portland Sleeper, which is the greatest car in the world. Of course, it's the last car on the train, and it's furthest from the dining car, but it's well worth the walk. Six cars forward to the diner from my car.
Talk me through somebody getting a ticket. Okay. And as far as what would their day entail?
Okay.
They get onto the train.
Yes. If you're in my sleeper, all your meals are included when you're in the sleeper. You start in Chicago. Okay. You go to the train station. You pick up your ticket. Say you're going all the way to Portland and you want to check a bag. So you're able to go to the ticket office and check your bag there. And then you don't have to carry it on. You're able to carry two suitcases on the train, but they have to be a certain weight and a certain size. And what I always recommend people, if you're traveling like with three or four bags, check that bag. So then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to carry all this stuff that you might not be able to carry all by yourself. It's a lot easier to just check a bag, just like the airlines. You check your bag on the plane, you check your bag at the train station to Portland, Oregon. And then once you get to Portland, Oregon, you go to baggage claim and you pick it up. We have a big baggage car where all the checked baggage is located. And a lot of things that are happening now are bicycles. People are able to check their bicycles and bring them with us, which is kind of nice.
That is very nice.
Yeah. Portland, Oregon is a very big bicycle town. So a lot of people check their bicycle in Chicago and then pick it up once they get off the train in Portland. So that's kind of nice. So if you're going to get on the train with me in Chicago, the first meal will be dinner that evening. And the dining car steward will come through the car taking dinner reservations for dinner. And that's how you do the first meal in the dining car. And it's community seating in the dining car, so there's four people at a table. And once again, all your meals are included from the dining car whenever you're in a sleeping car. So that's nice. I mean, we have entrees like steak. We have a shrimp. We have roasted chicken. We have a vegan meal now, which is very good. You have a lot of vegans in Portland. And we have a vegetarian meal. We have a pasta meal. And then, of course, with your entree, you always have a side salad. And you get a beverage. And you get a nice dessert. And one of my favorite desserts out there right now is raspberry tart. Really good.
Well, I want to back up just a little bit. What is the sleep car, the room?
The sleeping car. Okay.
Sleeping car. What does it look like?
Okay. Basically, the economy room, you walk into the room, and there's two chairs that face each other. And then you have a closet. Now, the two chairs fold down to form the lower bed. And then there's an upper bunk, too. And the upper bunk is where the lower mattress is stored. So you kind of pop out the handle. You lower the handle, excuse me. And then you put the lower mattress down on top of the two chairs. And so you have two beds in that. We have 14 of those. Those are called standard rooms, economy rooms. Those are the least expensive. Then we have a family room, which is located on the lower level of the sleeping car. You have a sofa, which forms into a bed. Then you have a upper bunk, which is another bed. And then on the side to the right is two small beds for children. So in the family room, you have a total of four beds and you have a closet. What's nice about the family room, it's room 15, that's what they call it. You have two windows to look out of, and those two windows are both sides of the train. So you have the left side of the train and the right side, and that's kind of neat. But you're also right over the wheels, too. Sometimes it could be a little noisy down there. But the family room is a lot of fun for me because that's where usually all the families are. And I usually have coloring books for the kids and stuff. And I got little Amtrak Junior hats that I give them. The kids love the train. They love to climb up on the bunks and play. It's fun for the kids to see them enjoy it. And then the other room is a handicap room. which is also located on the lower level, and it's wheelchair accessible. You have two beds in there, like the same type as the standard rooms. You have two chairs that face each other, and then that is a bed that you lower. And then on the upper bunk is where you store the lower mattress. So you have two beds in the handicap room. You also have a commode and a sink. Now that's nice for elderly people, you know, who can't get up and down the stairs too well and stuff, and wheelchair accessible also. Then of course we have the best deluxe rooms. They are the most expensive. There's five of them. There's room A, B, C, D, and E. And as you walk into the deluxe rooms, you have a sofa and you have a upper bed also. And of course, a sofa lowers to a bed. So you have a total of two beds in the deluxe rooms. And they're kind of like the size of a small twin. So they are the biggest mattresses that we have, biggest beds. And then right around the corner, as you walk in the room, there's a vanity. You have a sink. You have cabinets that hold your washcloths and hand towels and your toiletries, your extra toiletries that we provide for you, you know, Kleenex, soap, toilet paper, blah, blah, blah. And then around the corner is your shower. You have a handheld shower, and then you have a commode. So all the deluxe rooms have a bathroom in it with your personal shower and your own personal bathroom. And those rooms go very quickly because a lot of people want to have their own private bathroom. And then downstairs in the sleeping car, we have three restrooms downstairs and one shower that anybody in the sleeping car is able to use that shower. So I call it the community shower. But a couple weeks ago, somebody in my car made a joke saying, oh, we have to take showers together? I said, no. So and then he said, well, you said community shower, so we all have to shower together to save water? I'm like, no. So I have to come up with a different word other than community shower, because he kind of made it a laughing joke of it for the next 3 days as I traveled with him. And then upstairs on the upper level is an additional restroom. So you have a total of four restrooms located throughout the car. And then at the top of the stairs is the beverage center, which is my favorite place because that's where I like to decorate. I put my little library, I call it Stephanie's Library, on top of the water fountain next to the coffee pot. I bring magazines and paperbacks and stuff. And then in that hallway is where I put up my Glacier Park map, and I put up my little, I have a menu, a laminated menu that I put up in the hallway, and then I put up a little piece of paper that tells you where the fresh air / smoke stops are, because there's no smoking on the train, so people always want to know where the next smoke stop is or where you're able to step off the train and just get some fresh air. So there's a couple stops during the day that I put that up on the on
how
the
long do those stops last?
It just depends. Our longest stop usually is on our second day, going through, as you leave Chicago, you're going to go through Wisconsin and Minnesota. We have a stop at Milwaukee for a couple minutes. And then at Winona, Minnesota is another opportunity to step off the train. That's where we actually change engineers and conductors. Those stops are only a few minutes. But then that evening at about 9:45 is usually when we arrive in Minneapolis. And we stay in Minneapolis until 10:22. So that's a good stretch of time for people to stretch your legs, get some fresh air. And then the second day, you have a station stop at Minot, North Dakota. And that's a long stop for us. That's a service stop where we water all the cars, we fuel the engines, we change engineers and conductors there. There's lots of padding in the schedule. And we can never leave a station stop early. We always have to stick to that timetable. But Minot, North Dakota, we usually get there at 8 o'clock. And we don't leave 8 o'clock in the morning on Central Time. And we don't leave till about 9:06 a.m. So that's quite a big chunk of time there for people to go venture out if they want. And I always tell them, it's like, if you come back at 9:07, I'm going to be laughing at you as the train leaves because we're not waiting for you. And people, like, you'd be surprised how many people miss the train.
No.
I mean, they go on a little tour. I don't know where they go. but they come back and the train's gone.
So the sleeping quarters, the commodes, the community showers, the other showers.
Yeah.
Then you have your little section, you said the drink?
We have a little beverage center.
The
we
beverage
have
center.
Coffee.
Beverage center.
We provide coffee for you in the morning, and then orange juice also available, and additional bottled water also throughout the trip. And we always set up your room when you first get on the train with two bottled waters complimentary, and then throughout the train trip, you're able to get more water if you like, or orange juice or coffee.
Right, right. And then what else is, you know, I know you talked about the different parts of the train. Is there anything else on the train? Do you want to talk about the windows in the observation area?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for not using the right terms, the names for the car.
It's a lounge car.
Lounge car.
You know, people always say, where's the sightseeing lounge car? Where's the snack car? Where's the bar car? It's always in the middle of the train. As you walk into the sightseeing lounge car, there are panoramic windows. That we call it floor-to-ceiling windows. That's what my friend Catherine calls it when she does her speech. But there's tables where you could sit and play board games or just play cards or just visit or have a little snack. And then on the other side of the lounge car is individual seats where you're able to swivel those seats around. But that's kind of like the social area where everybody goes to hang out and sit and enjoy the view. Downstairs in that car is where the snack cafe car is, where the bartender is, where you could purchase snacks or goodies. If you're not in the sleeping car, where your meals are included, a lot of people on the train and the coaches, they bring their own little cooler, and they're able to bring their own little snacks and food and stuff, which is nice. But you're able to purchase stuff from the lounge car. And, of course, the bartender microwave stuff. You know, they have burgers, they have hot dogs, they got pizza, they have lots of candy, cocktails and stuff. All kinds of goodies down there. But that's the social area, I would say, where everybody goes to hang out.
Yeah. Last thing, the entertainment.
Okay.
So we talked about certain cars have Wi-Fi, certain cars don't. No, that's a different issue.
Right.
But as far as music, movies, games, what sort of things do people do out there for entertainment while they're riding on the car?
Well, in the summer, Amtrak actually has a program called Rails to Trails, where we have guides that get on at certain areas. And they are located in the lounge car during their trip where they do commentary on the route that we're traveling on. And that's in the summer. And usually that starts in May and it ends probably after Labor Day. And these are volunteers from the National Park Service. And they will set up their information booth in the lounge car and they will do a commentary locally just in the lounge car. And they don't broadcast throughout the train because sometimes people are sleeping in the sleepers or in the coaches. And if you want to participate in their program, you always just tell the people that the Rails to Trails guys are here. They're in the lounge car if you'd like to go see what it's all about. It's a very interesting program, and these folks are very informative, and it happens in the summer.
And a lot of people really enjoy that feature.
Oh, they do, yeah. And they bring maps and stuff and talk about Glacier Park, Montana, which is very scenic, a lot of history there and stuff. But there's a lot of history through North Dakota, too, and Montana. You know, Lewis and Clark, we kind of follow the Lewis and Clark adventure, you know, through North Dakota and Montana. So there's a lot of history up there. A lot of interesting things to see, too. Buffalo, bison farms. There's one area where in the summer you have a sunflower farm where all the sunflowers, when the sun comes up, all the sunflowers are facing each other. That's always one of the prettiest things going through North Dakota.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it is.
So there's the narration. Mm-hmm. What else do people do? You told me about all this stuff. I think it's super charming, the fact that you don't find people on Netflix.
No.
You don't find people in the cars just binge-watching something on YouTube.
Right.
It seems like something that reminds you of how things were 50, 60, 70 years ago, where you had to interact with other people.
Right.
You had to read a book. You had to play cards. You had to do things without the technology and actually interact with people.
Right.
Or just take in the scenery. Is that mostly the feeling?
I would say that a lot of people come out there to experience the train trip and just the life of traveling on a train. And some people bring backgammon, some people bring cards, some people just want to read a book, some people just want to look out the window and see the beautiful countryside. Kids, a lot of kids, I know that they are definitely into the board game. There's actually a game called the Empire Builder, which I have to get because I have to... it's a neat game. I was coming through the lounge car one trip. It was probably almost 6 months ago. And this family of four said, I said, what is that they were playing? And they said, oh, this is an Empire game. Don't you know? I said, no, I don't. What's it about? And basically, the Empire board game, Empire Builder board game is you have four people. And say, for example, you have one person is in California, and they have to move their train of food to New York. And that's one of the things that happens during the game. And then say the other person has a coal train in New York, and they have to take that coal train and move it to North Dakota. This game is all about... who can move their train and the goods that are in the train from one end to another. And it's an interesting game, and I know it's on Amazon because that's what the family told me, so I have to get it. Because when I go on the train trip, I've learned to bring things for my passengers, like extra playing cards maybe that they forgot at home. When you open up your tray table in your room, there's a pattern of checkers or chess. I bring a set of checkers or chess for them. I bring a couple staples of what I call from my own personal library. There's a book called the Pullman Neighborhood in Chicago. I bring that with me because that's interesting. That's kind of where it all started, George Pullman. And, you know, I'm from Chicago, and to this day, I've never gone to the Pullman neighborhood. And I keep saying, I'm going to go. But the Pullman book is interesting. It talks about how George Pullman started the company and started his own town and how he had a town called Pullman. And it's an interesting book. I bring that with me. I also bring a book called The California Zephyr, written by a man named Henry Kaiser, who actually lives in Evanston, Illinois. He was a professional writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he loved trains. And so in the 1980s, he took the California Zephyr, and he wrote a book about his experiences on that train, certain situations that the crew goes through. And it's really a behind-the-scenes book about the California Zephyr, and it's an interesting read. I bring that. And then my other book has nothing to do with trains. My favorite actor is Paul Newman, so I bring a biography about Paul Newman. Mm-hmm. It's written by his best friend and a guy named A.E. Hotchner. And so those are my three staples that I bring, just in case somebody's looking for any, you know, train stories or just a good book about Paul Newman. Those are the three staples that are in my suitcase all the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Anybody want to come on a train trip, come with me. That's cool.
Starting here, starting now, when we walk, we'll walk together, year by year. Starting here, starting now, when we talk, we will say the most with silence, when we're near. Starting here.